Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And we are live. Yes, 2 weeks in a row. Imagine that. I know it's hard to believe. Usually we record, but as it so happened, the wife said she had the girl, so I thought, hey, I'll just come in, sit down, spend an hour with you, do a little chit-chatting. I've got the fever, but it's a cabin fever. Wisconsin is on lockdown-ish. I guess essential services are still running. Nobody's stopping anybody. People are out and about because the last couple of days have been actually nice in the 50s and 40s, which for Wisconsin is balmy. So everybody's out jogging and walking and running and throwing frisbees to their dogs if they so happen to have dogs. Life looks peachy and normal from the outside, but apparently people are still in hysterics. People are still, I guess, for lack of a better word, inconsolable about the fact that I have chosen to be somewhat laissez-faire or laissez-faire about this coronavirus. And I even had somebody email me and go, you're mocking me and I'm afraid. I'm sorry, I'm not mocking you. I'm mocking your fear. Because I don't know that I know you personally, because you got my email address from the Hand of Help website. But I'm not mocking you personally, don't get me wrong. I am mocking your fear because of the multitude of things that you could be afraid of today, this should not be high on your list. I never said this wasn't a real thing. Go back into the archives, see when I started talking about the coronavirus and the fact that the Chinese were building hospitals in 10 days, and you don't do that for nothing. However, we also need to be measured. We need to be balanced. We need to understand that there are worse things. That's right. I said it. There are worse things than coronavirus. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen a starving human being. I'm gonna begin here. We're gonna get through a lot of stuff tonight. And if you want to be scared, okay, take my hand. Let's go down the road to scary. Because this right now, as it stands, this virus is not scary to me. I know I'm not within the age demographic that has the higher mortality rate, but you know, I am what some might technically call obese, so there you go. I'm in the danger zone. And yet, if I take the necessary precautions of, you know, not being dirty, washing my hands, being careful and cautious, I'm sure I'll be fine. But if you want to truly understand, I don't know, that there are other things you should likely be afraid of as opposed to coronavirus, let's go down this little rabbit trail together. If you want scary, I can give you scary. Because the truth of the matter is that if you are an American having lived in America all of your life, you've been blessed to have a sheltered life. You've been blessed to have a life that was free of certain everyday things that other people in the world go through. I'm trying to be nice because apparently everyone's feelings are a little fresh, sore, whatever. And so everyone gets upset quite readily, and then they start shooting off emails. And you know what? My kids are off school. They don't have daycare. They don't have school. So between answering angry emails from people going, why don't you take my fear seriously? Or why do you mock me for being afraid? I'm mocking your fear. Instead of answering all those emails, I'd rather play catch with my kids in the backyard. But that's just me. Again, just to clarify, only going to do it once, I am not mocking you. It's the fear that I'm mocking, because in the great scheme of things, the fear is unwarranted. I'm sorry, it just is. 2.2 million people die in this world every year of diarrhea. That's it. I could end the show right there. Say good night, everybody. Enjoy. Put it on repeat if you must. But to contextualize the mortality rate of this thing compared to other things, 2.2 million people die every single year of diarrhea. 23. And this is a sad number, because it ought not to be so. It's a sad number because we should have done something about it a long time ago. 23 veterans die by suicide every day. So, again, we need to take a step back, turn off the television, breathe in, breathe out, and analyze the situation for what it is. Assess the situation for what it is. 2.2 million people die of diarrhea every year in this world. There are countless things that people die of by times 10 that you won't give a second thought to, that you're probably susceptible to. But because the media has pumped this into this orgasmic fear-a-thon, all we can talk about is this. Now, the reason I asked you if you've ever seen a person starving to death is because it may just be what the future holds for this nation if the big boys don't pull up their pants and understand that shutting down the country because some people are getting flu-like symptoms, and yes, some people are dying, but the percentage of which is far smaller than would die if we had another depression in this country. If we don't start things back up again, we're just going to go through some statistics, talk about a few things that happened not so very long ago in this country. But the first thing I need you to visualize is what a starving human being looks like. Because there have been estimates that some 7 million people, 7 million people, starved to death during the Great Depression in this country. What's the death count in New York? 300? 300 people. 7 million people starved to death during the Great Depression. And the citizenry was a far smaller number than it is today. Now, back to my original question, because there is a point to this, and I'm going to hammer this home so that if you're going to be fearful of something, might as well be fearful of the right thing. Have you ever seen a starving person? Someone so emaciated that even though you hated thinking it, you thought somebody draped skin over a skull. Because I have. Our ministry was one of the first ministries to go back to Romania after the fall of communism. And we went back not for photo ops. We went back not to show people how generous and magnanimous we were. We actually went back to help. And because we knew the region, that's where our family was from, we went to northern Romania. And we started visiting the state-run orphanages. These places were usually out in the middle of nowhere. There used to be old boyer homes, you know, old bourgeoisie homes that the communists had confiscated and turned into makeshift orphanages. And it was at one of the first orphanages that we visited that I first encountered a starving human being. It was a child of, they said he was 13, looked no bigger than 6, tied to a bed, so emaciated that you could count every single rib. You could see the bones, the femur bones on the leg. You could basically see the entire skeletal structure of this child beneath its sunken skin. This was a starving human being. And if we hadn't come, if we hadn't raised the stink, if we hadn't brought food, if we hadn't waited till the child was untied and they fed him some broth because he couldn't hold anything down, he hadn't been fed in so long, he would have very likely died. That was the first of many that I saw during that trip. And it's always haunted me. Every time I picture worst case scenario, every time I close my eyes and wonder to myself, what's the worst it can get? I see that child. I see that child tied to a bed, looking like somebody had thrown human skin over a skeleton. So if you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of that. Be afraid of going to the store and finding nothing. Not for an afternoon. And not toilet tissue, extra soft, double ply. And not Kleenex with the moisturizer in it. But nothing. As in zero in the store, empty shelves. I don't know, maybe some vegan burgers, because apparently nobody eats those even when they're starving. And imagine that happening not for an afternoon. Not because all the imbeciles with man buns decided toilet paper was the thing they needed if the apocalypse were to come. But every day, day in, day out, first for a week, then for a month, then for however long you manage to keep going looking for something and finding nothing. 7 million people are said to have died during the Great Depression. The Great Depression had an unemployment rate of 24%. I know, he's talking economics again. Where's the prophecy? Prophecy's been happening for the last 40 years. Nobody cared. It's like my wife telling our little one, you have to clean your room before you can watch TV. And she says, yes, mommy, can I watch TV? And my wife repeats herself, you have to clean your room before you can watch TV. Yes, mommy, can I watch TV? God told us what we needed to do in order to avert what's coming. And all we can manage to do is say, yes, Lord, tell us something else. But no, there's nothing else you need until you do this one thing. There's nothing else you need until you get your house in order. There's nothing else you need until you seek the face of God and until you find repentance. There's no new message. There's no new revelation. I'm not trying to sell you beans and rice at a discounted rate. Somebody sent me this, and I know he sent it to me just to get a rise out of me. What was it? Jim Baker's at it again. He is offering, in his very magnanimous and gregarious way, rice and beans. Apparently they're supposed to be like, to make your meal more plentiful. So I can't find it right now, but apparently $160 for a bucket of rice and $160 for a bucket of beans, which probably all in all cost about $20. We reached out and said, hey, can we promote your product? And we get a little cut. Here you are. Go and buy the rice and beans per the bucket. And use promo code GullibleSap. If you use promo code GullibleSap, you get 3% off, but then you get charged 5% for using your credit card. I kid, of course. There's no promo code, and I didn't reach out. But last I checked, a bag of rice and a bag of beans is about $20. At $1.60, they're making a nice profit, and still, GullibleSaps are calling. And one other thing that my intent, my hope, my prayer in doing this every week with you, in talking to you, is not to scare you, is not to stir fear in your heart, because if that was my intent, I could just give you some reality bites that would make you jump out of your skin when you realize the truth of them. My hope and desire is to make you aware of the situation as it stands and then encourage you to trust God. But apparently some of you just won't have that. No. Tell us about QAnon and about the secret messages. And there's, come on, we're grasping at straws. The only thing I'm seeing right now is that there's a certain group in this country that has seized upon this chaos, that has seized upon this crisis, and they're trying to push the agenda of communism to the utmost as quickly as they can, because they think most people will be so relieved at the thought of having $1,000 of their own money sent back to them that they're going to embrace communism. If you think it's rough now, you ain't seen nothing yet. But back to what I was going to tell you then not tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Between the guy who stocks up on beans and rice and the guy who stocks up on bullets, guess who's going to win? Just a thought. You see, because you're making me do this, all right? Just know this. You made me do this. Because I was going to talk about something else, but then the emails started rolling in. I hope tonight's program's different than the other ones, because all you're talking about is current events. What do you want to know? Why I don't believe this is the end? Because it's not bad enough. Here, I said it. This isn't bad enough to warrant the last days. A third of the world's population will die very quickly from some sort of disaster. It'll be so sudden that humanity itself will be overwhelmed. This has a less than 1% mortality rate, figuring those that have been tested. And they say there's probably 10, 15 times more walking around that are asymptomatic, that are never going to get tested because they never thought they had it. And there's a bunch of people that are still waiting to be tested because there aren't enough tests around. So you want me to freak out about this? You want me to start digging a bunker and burying my family in the dirt over this? If this is scaring you out of your knickers, then your heart's going to stop in your chest when you see what's coming. Because this is even the beginning of the beginning of the birth pangs. And some of you I call this a public service announcement. All right, this is my public service announcement segment. If you are storing up food, and if you are storing up water, and if you are storing up essentials, for Pete's sake, don't tell other people you're doing it. Don't tell your neighbors, don't tell your friends, don't tell your school board, don't even tell people at church. Because if things get to Great Depression levels of hurt, which I believe they can if certain measures aren't taken quickly, anybody who knows that you once talked about putting aside some food and rice won't think twice about breaking into your house, doing you harm, and taking what you've stored up. So again, that was my PSA to everyone with open hearts that don't realize what man is capable of when man is desperate. 7 million people are said to have starved to death during the Great Depression. Pales in comparison to the number they're throwing around now, because there was apparently a guy that was very hot and bothered about the idea that 500,000 English people were going to die of the coronavirus. Today, he actually had to disclose that he has, tinkered with the numbers, taken a few other things into account, and now, boo-hoo, his numbers are only down to 20,000 from 500,000. Understand, there are far, far worse things than this virus that could befall this land and this world. I witnessed one of those things firsthand, and I was never the same again. And you know what? On paper, people had money. Everyone had jobs. But there was nothing to buy. And that system people were supposed to trust and embrace failed the great majority of people, especially the young and especially the old. I will spare you the things I saw in a senior living facility during that same trip back to Romania. If you've never seen maggots eating a live human being, well, you haven't lived. So understand that the reason I'm not fearful of this is because I've seen far worse with my own eyes. I know how bad can get. And I'm sorry, this isn't it. I sympathize wholeheartedly with people that are catching it. I sympathize wholeheartedly with the elderly that are passing away due to complications from it. But we need to be aware, we need to be cognizant of the fact that there are worse things. Starvation being one of them. Because I got to tell you, I can put up with a lot. There's a lot I can take. I have a strong constitution and very few things shake me. But the idea of seeing my kids starve is one of those things that I don't think I could cope with. So let's break down what another Great Depression might look like. Because again, they're talking 30% unemployment if these things keep going. And the Great Depression had 24% unemployment. Numbers matter. Please understand, numbers matter. In this context, they matter a lot. So the number of those unemployed during the Great Depression was 24%. The consensus is that from that 24% unemployed, some 7 million people starved to death. Now, we're in 2020. There are far more people in these United States today than there were back in the 20s. There are also a lot more people today that are far weaker in their constitution than those of the 1920s. So, if you're still holding my hand, and if you still want to go down this road, if you still want to take this trip, here goes. After the first 3 months or so of just stark barrenness and starvation, you're going to see an exponential spike in suicides, either from drug overdoses or, you know, the good old-fashioned way, bullet to the cranium. You're also going to see an explosion of family violence, of people on the brink, easily pushed over, doing things they heretofore would not have thought they would do to their own wives, to their own husbands, and to their own children. Do you want to get off the ride yet? Because I could go on. I need you to understand that this is not the worst that can happen. If we're so panicky over this, then God help us when real hard time comes. If we're so panicky over this, then God help us when we really do enter tribulation. Astounding to me that so many people are so quick to give up their freedoms out of fear. So, the latest today is that the jobless claims have soared to 3.2 million, the biggest jump ever. If the economy is not allowed to restart, if governors of states who think themselves miniature despots continue to keep everything on lockdown, that number is going to pop to 10 million within a month. I know. We're all getting checks, though. $1,200 isn't going to get anybody far. And most irresponsible people could, apparently the thing is, most people don't have emergency $400 set aside. And look, I know some people are low-wage, low-income earners. They are paying off debt, they're paying rent, and they can't set aside $400. But I've also seen interviews with people complaining that they don't have $400 for an emergency, that were covered in tattoos that must have cost upward of $3,000, that had diamond stud earrings in their nose that must have cost upwards of $300, $400, that had sneakers on their feet that if they were lucky enough to be the first through the door and grab them, cost $400, but they likely bought them from a reseller, which likely upped that number to $1,200. So excuse me for not being overly sympathetic to people who are irresponsible. Now, to those people who are responsible and are just having a hard time, look, I sympathize. We're buying pallets of food here in Watertown. The local church is actually passing out food to needy people. The children of God are stepping up. But for every one person in real need, I guarantee you there's one other that if you give them $1 million, 3 weeks later they'll be broke again because they're fiscally irresponsible. And no amount of government money is going to make them fiscally responsible. All it's going to do is add to the debt. And the longer you keep everything shut down, because, you know, we have to flatten the curve, the harder it'll be to get it back up and running. Seven million starve to death. That's a rough way to go. So, no, I am not mocking you. I am mocking your fear. Because if this is enough to scare you out of your wits, I can only imagine what terror you will feel if you ever see the things that I have seen. I've seen it. I've seen the worst of what man can do to man up close and personal. I've seen the worst of indifference, where a child was left to starve tied to a bed, or an old person allowed to lay in their own filth until maggots were eating at them. So does something that has a mortality rate of less than 1% scare me? Not in the least. What can happen because we're hyperventilating and overreacting from it, that kind of scares me just a smidge. Because we don't have a baseline to which to compare. Now, those of you that are older, that have lived through the war, you know what I'm talking about. Because I know very few are alive, if any, listening to this program that lived through the Depression and understood what they were going through. But I remember my own grandmother telling stories of the war, where her stomach would hurt so bad she'd go out and eat tree bark just to have something in her tummy, just so it would stop hurting. You think this is bad? If you think this is the worst that can happen, first, you're blessed because you've been living here and you don't know what bad is. And second, if you think this is the worst that can happen, you're in for a very rude awakening. So the man that was touted as being the lead scientist on how many dead has now retracted his number from 500,000 all the way down to 20,000. And if you read the headlines, you realize that everything is driven towards a conclusion. There is a purpose for the narrative. Shock claim, deaths will top 80,000 in the next 4 months. Okay, well, just so that we're clear, you're going to hear some clicking. I'm going to Google how many people have died of the flu this year in America. There you go. I just did it. And guess what? The CDC says this, that between 38 million and 54 million have had the flu illness between October 1st, 2019 and March 14th, 2020. That between 390,000 and 710,000 people have been hospitalized from the flu. And now listen to this number. Let it sink in. Between 23,000 and 59,000 people have died from the flu or flu-related complications. So the shock claim, the thing that's supposed to grab your imagination and make you clutch your pearls and go faint and start digging your own grave, is that 80,000 people will die within the next 4 months. I thought it was 2.1 million, wasn't it? Wasn't it supposed to be that? 1 million, 2 million? We were cranking up the numbers, kids. Some people were saying as high as 4 million people. Now we're down to 80,000. And that's 21,000 more than have died from the flu. We bungle this up. If we allow fear to dictate our response as a nation, if we keep things shuttered and businesses closed down indefinitely, because Aunt Reba's 97 and she really wants to go for a walk, we're not going to be talking about numbers of 80,000 or 50,000 or 60,000. The Great Depression had 24% unemployment. 7 million people are said to have starved to death during the Great Depression. They're saying if this stays shut down, the numbers are going to be around 30% unemployment. You do the math. That's all I'm going to say. And there are also countless factors that we need to take into account, comparatively speaking, between the time of the Great Depression and our modern day society. I guarantee you, people were not as divided, as polarized, as selfish, as hedonistic, as ghoulish, call it ghoulish, as they are today. You have adult human beings going into supermarkets, coughing on the fresh produce, laughing maniacally and telling anyone within earshot that they have the coronavirus. I read an article somewhere today that a store had to throw away $35,000 worth of fresh produce because one insane human being walked into the store and started coughing everywhere, yelling, "I have corona, I have corona." Understand that people in possession of an anarchist mindset today far outnumber people with an anarchist mindset in the 1930s. These are the kinds of people that just like to set things on fire to watch them burn. It can get exponentially worse than the 1930s, and a lot quicker too, because of 100 different unknowns, things that we have not quantified, but things that we can perceive. So no, again, I am not afraid of the virus. I know people have died. I feel sad. I feel sympathetic. There's a Romanian Baptist pastor that just passed away from coronavirus-linked complications. But we also need to acknowledge the fact that our days are numbered. Our days belong to God. And this is where balance comes in. No, I don't go turning, you know, licking turnstiles in the subway in New York. But I don't live in fear either. I use wisdom to dictate my actions, but I also acknowledge the fact that some things are out of my control. I also acknowledge the fact that some things I just can't control, no matter how much I'd like to. I wrote an article a couple days ago that talked about the cure being worse than the disease. I think we're coming up to the edge of that, where it's very possible that the cure for this will be worse than the disease itself. Because, guess what? The man who is spearheading the coronavirus task force or what have you, the man known as Dr. Fauci or Fucci or however you want to say it, has just come out and said, hey, this might be a seasonal thing. Let that sink in too. He's actually allowing for the possibility that this might be a seasonal thing. So next year, we'll be right back to where we are today. Only what? $4 trillion more in debt. So, ruminate on that for a while. Now, I'm going to read you this article because I think it's apropos. I think it's necessary for you to hear it. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. And no, I'm not mocking you. I understand. You may be afraid. But there's a lot worse things to be afraid of. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Not only is that a motto for some politicians today, but it is also a way of life. If anyone still held to the hope that their elected officials gave two snot bubbles and a chicken turd about them, their families, their business, or even their well-being, that illusion has been permanently shattered. With the help of a compliant media which seeks to frame the narrative at every turn, there is a push in the halls of Congress to ram through new legislation that would make its implementation far worse of a situation for the average citizen than this virus ever could. By the way, it looks like it passed. Yay, free money. But just remember the old adage, something Grandma should have told you. Nothing is free in life, my boy. Nothing is free in life. Tactically speaking, it's good timing. Everyone's either distracted, fearful, or told that they should be afraid. Otherwise, they don't really understand what's going on. People are legitimately hurting already. And it hasn't even been a full week of shuttered businesses, working from home, no school, and shutdowns. Imagine if this thing drags on for 2, 3, even 4 months. By then, toilet tissue won't be a problem anymore, because most people won't have any money to buy it. When babies, toddlers, children, and even adults start suffering from malnutrition, thereby becoming susceptible to all sorts of bugs their immune system would have fought off had they been adequately fed, the average death won't be 80.5 years young. It'll drop like a rock. At some point, we'll stop counting how many dead and just wondering if there will be anyone left to bury us. It's one thing when politicians play politics in a time of national crisis. We sort of come to expect it. They are, after all, the bottom feeders of society, the one group of people that makes lawyers and prostitutes seem noble and forthright. When, however, almost every major news outlet is doing everything it can to frame the narrative in their favor, it's called propaganda. Since the eloquence of Bernard Sanders couldn't convince the average citizen to embrace communism, maybe convincing them that it's the only way to solve their existential crisis will. If you want to take a peek behind the curtain, you do so at your own risk. But if you do, consider what isn't being reported rather than what is in any given news cycle. Then you will get an idea of just how evil the string pullers are. Why is every news story about how many people have tested positive for this virus and none about how many have recovered? Why is no one pointing out that most people won't even be symptomatic? Why did they suddenly stop flashing how many dead in Italy every morning as though it was the outcome of some soccer match? Could it be that the numbers have peaked and are beginning to drop? Why is it that you have to read the body text of an article that declares a man dead from chloroquine, only to discover that what he ingested was chloroquine phosphate, an aquarium cleaning product and not the medicine itself? Why is it that before declaring it's the end of the world, no one takes a pen and paper and does some rudimentary math regarding this virus? Why is no one pointing out that only among those showing severe symptoms, severe enough to seek medical help, is the death rate somewhere at 1% among septuagenarians and octogenarians with pre-existing conditions? Yes, I know, one 30-year-old died, but what they failed to mention is that he had a compromised immune system, having just survived testicular cancer. If they can keep you fearful and panicking, if they can keep you from thinking about things and thinking things through, if they can keep you from using logic and reason, they just might get everything they've ever wanted. that the average citizen would have never voted for. Do you want to know why I don't believe this is the last Trump? You want to know why I don't believe it's time to pack our bags and find someone to take my pet fish when we get raptured? Because it is not nearly bad enough to warrant it. Because what the Bible says will happen during the last days doesn't come close to what is happening currently. And that was the article I wrote back on Tuesday, so 2 days ago, still sort of fresh. Where do we go from here as a nation? I know that some of you have no vested interest, don't care. You're just, you know, a modern version of Jonah sitting under a palm tree, snacking on some popcorn, waiting for it all to end. And the odd thing is the people I see most excited about the end of the world, most excited about the destruction of America, are people who don't have children, who don't have grandchildren. I was talking about judgment on America. Since the age of 12, that's when I started translating for my grandfather. Since the age of 12, I am currently 45. You do the math. But see, never once during all these years, faithfully delivering the messages God gives, faithfully translating for my grandfather the messages God gave him, did I have a desire, a want, a need to see these things come to pass. See, I remember traveling with my grandpa as his translator. And he'd talk about the judgment of America to a church that at the time seemed very skeptical. And then we'd go back to our hotel room and he'd spend hours on his knees praying that God would make him a liar. He'd spend hours on his knees praying that God show mercy. Praying that what God had shown him would happen would not happen. I believe that judgment is coming. What I don't believe is that we should revel in the idea that it is, or do what we can to hasten it. I know, in some of your eyes, that makes me weak. Whatever. You see, the one thing that those who know me know is that I have made it a priority in my life to not be dependent on ministry for my family's well-being. That way I don't have to hawk rice, I don't have to hawk beans, I don't have to try to sell you potatoes au gratin by the bucket. I don't have to try to scare you out of your mind to get you to buy silver certificates or gold or silver solution. I can sit here every week and tell you the truth. I can talk about the things I want to talk about that you may not see the importance of today, but you will see the importance of at some point down the line. Because if I didn't believe that God wanted me to do this, then I'd have better things to do with an hour of my week. If God did not want me to do this, this would be a waste of time. And so I do this because he mandates it. And I do it without strings, and I do it without asking you to buy aged salami in a tin can at 1,000% markup. So, as I said at the beginning of this program, if you want to be afraid of something, there's a lot of things to be afraid of in this world. But this thing really isn't one of them. Anyway, may God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for listening. Please keep us in your prayers. And Lord willing, we will see you again next week, continuously corona-free. For now, Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mike. Trust in the Lord with all our what? All our heart. All of it. Like Mike said, don't be motivated by fear. And really, if our economy shuts down and we end up, and it looks like it's going to be recession mode very soon. But Mike made a good point. People didn't think in January we would be in this position now, but this is what fear does. And, you know, so much of America is shut down, and it's like Mike said, it's going to take a long time to get this engine. And I think we have to start thinking that it's not unfeasible to have an economic collapse in America if we don't start really looking at the ramifications of shutting down pretty much a whole nation. And so trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your understanding. That's the worst thing you can do, is lean on that. Our understanding gets us in trouble. And fear is a tool of the devil to get us to doubt God. And if we can doubt God, how long can you walk on the narrow path, which is narrow, to doubting God? People that are fearful are paying $100 for this bottle of Silver Soul that Baker's hawking and others. And it's much cheaper to have faith, and it's much more secure in your family and your life to trust the Lord. It's much more healthy to have confidence in God than walk around in trepidation. So trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will what? Direct your path. And I think Mike's statistics are really an eye-opener. 23 veterans a day die by suicide. That should be a national calamity. And then mentioning how many people die from diuretical illness, you know. Trust the Lord. Put your faith in God. God will never let you down. And it's time for America to turn back to the Lord. Like Mike said, for all these years, you know, the prophetic word was going out. And how many people heeded that call? Now we better heed the call. God bless you. Thank you for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.